This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You cannot overcome evil any other way. The only way to get the devil back for what he has done to you, all the unjust things, is to get out of your house every day and be as good as you can possibly be to as many people as you can possibly be good to. This living with this aggressive, unselfish attitude and actually living like you're not and I'm not the most important thing in the universe. All right, here's a scripture you're not going to care for much, but nonetheless it's in here, so we might as well read it. And Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and all of his own interests. Let him take up his cross and follow me." Now, you know, you can read that and think, well, this Christianity thing don't sound like too much fun to me. Totally forget about yourself, lose sight of yourself, lose sight of all your own interests. Yeah. But we don't want to take this out of context. First of all, it's very dangerous to just pull one scripture out of anywhere without looking at what's around it. And Jesus was speaking to a specific situation, although the general principle of this is absolutely true. It would be taking it too far to say that God didn't want you to take care of yourself, that he never wanted you to do anything for yourself, that your whole life is supposed to be just giving out, and it's wrong to ever want anything for yourself. Obviously, we're going to have desires. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So there are things that we want. There's things that we need. If you're giving out all the time and nobody's ever doing anything back for you, or you're not ever taking the time to do anything for yourself, you're just going to get burnt out. It's not going to take very long. We need to have something coming in and something going out, something coming in and something going out all the time. Even the very act of breathing shows us a very important principle. We take in and we let out. We take in and we let out. Now, if I just do either one exclusive of the other one, I'm going to faint. If I just... Or if I were just to let out. And I think we've got a lot of fainting saints. Sitting in church pews every Sunday morning. Because all they do is take in. Well, I'm going to go to church and get my blessing. I sure hope that pastor's got a word for me today. I tell you, God, if I don't get a breakthrough, I just don't think I can hang on much longer. Now, I know none of you said that today. And the best way in the world to get your problem solved is to do something for somebody else. What you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. You can't reap a harvest without sowing a seed. Tell God what your need is, but then get yourself somewhere where you can be a blessing to somebody else and do it on purpose. Don't have to have 3 prophecies, 2 angels, and 12 confirmations. Just say, God, we're going to have a new plan. You are no longer going to have to make me bless people. I am going to bless people unless you tell me not to. How about a new deal? I'm going to bless people unless you tell me not to. Now, I will wait on God, you know, for a few minutes to make sure I got peace about doing something, but I don't have prayer meetings anymore over whether or not I'm supposed to bless somebody. I got lots of stuff to pray about, but I don't need to pray about whether or not it's okay to bless somebody. And the only reason why we do that is because we want to keep our stuff. So Jesus was speaking to a specific situation here with Peter, where he'd been sharing with Peter that the time was coming very close for him to die. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to suffer. And Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "Oh, no, Lord, this must not ever happen to you." And Jesus turned and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense and in my way. You're not caring about the will of God, but only what pleases you. Now, the whole reason why Peter said that to Jesus, to be very honest, he wasn't concerned about Jesus. He figured if Jesus was going to suffer and he was his buddy, he'd suffer too. So it was a whole selfish thing. And then Jesus said, anybody who's going to be my disciple, who's going to follow me, you got to take up your cross and do it. Forget yourself, lose sight of yourself and all your own interests. So he was making a point with Peter that you can't be my disciple and just care more about what you want than you do the will of God. Amen? But then there's other sides to this also. And it's very important to me that I teach balance. I mean, I can stand here and say, forget yourself, lose sight of yourself, all your own interests, and it sounds holy and spiritual, but it's just going to be about 2 weeks and it'll wear you out. We have needs, and God doesn't expect us not to have those needs met. Don't be one of those kind of people who always says, oh, I can do without. Oh, I can do without. Oh, I can do without. No, you can't. You might, but you know what? You'll end up being a martyr. Well, I just do everything around here. I do all the work. I do all the serving. You know, I do all the giving. Nobody does anything for me. No? Okay, I'll go on to something else. Let's think about the other side of this. Let's look at Mark 14. See, how can I in one message tell you not to be selfish and give you permission to bless yourself at the same time? Because that's really the amazement of the Word of God. There's such fine balance in it that every need is met if we'll just follow the leadership and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. See, that's the beauty of the new covenant. We don't have enough laws and guidelines to cover all this, but we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that can prompt us when we need to give and when we need to maybe take a break for a while and take a vacation and do something for ourselves. Then we get energized again to come back and serve people all over again and do and do and do. We have a tendency to live in the ditch on one side or the other. We're either going to just be totally selfish and self-centered, or we get a revelation on serving and, you know, being a blessing, and now we start feeling guilty if we do anything for ourselves because there's all these needy people out there. So we swing all the way to this side, then pretty soon we're bitter and we got burnout. And then, you know, people are serving in the church and they go overboard, and so then all of a sudden now they're not ever going to do anything in church again because you know how they are. They just take advantage of it. If you offer to do anything, they call you every time you turn around. Well, say no. Say, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm happy to do it, but I got to have a little life. Mm-hmm. Hey, like I said, I've done it wrong every way you can do it wrong. And I think I'm at the best place of balance in my life that I've ever been. I work hard, but I'm not killing myself anymore. I do lots of things for other people, but you know what? I've decided that you don't have to have your emergency on my one day off. You've been in emergency mode for 40 years. Why would I have to fix it on my one day off? Now, on the other hand, if it's a genuine thing and God prompts me, then I'll lay aside whatever I'm going to do and go take care of it. Is anybody awake out there? You know what I found out? If I've been trying to help you 4 years and you're not helped, it ain't my fault. You don't want to be helped. So there's a difference in helping people and then letting the devil use some people to just suck everything out of you that you got. Now, all right, Mark 14:3. And while he was in Bethany, a guest in the house of Simon the leper, it was interesting who Jesus visited, wasn't it? And he was reclining at table, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of sweet perfume, very costly, very precious, and she broke it and poured the perfume all over his head. Now there were some there who were moved with indignation and said to themselves, to what purpose was this perfume wasted? For we could have sold that for more than 300 denarii, a laboring man's wages for a year. That bottle of perfume was worth a year's wages. And the money could have been given to the poor. Now that sounds spiritual. That sounds holy. Well, Jesus, I mean, you're always teaching us all these great principles. You're the one that's teaching us to live unselfish lives, to give and give and give. And so why do you seem to be happy about this woman wasting a year's wages just pouring this stuff all over you when that could have been sold and given to the poor? There's a good message here. And Jesus goes on to say, verse 6, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why are you troubling her? She has done a good and a beautiful thing to me, a praiseworthy and a noble deed. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you're not always going to have me. She has done what she could. She came beforehand to anoint my body for the burial. Now, here's what was going on here. Jesus was getting ready to go through the absolute worst agony that we could ever possibly imagine. He didn't even fully understand in his humanity what he was getting ready to go through. And God sent somebody to do something so outrageous for him that it would encourage him. She poured her love and appreciation out for what he was doing for her by giving the costly and the most expensive thing that she had. Well, people looking on said, what a waste. But you know what Jesus was saying? In this instance, I'm worthy of waste. And can I tell you that there are times in your life when you are worthy of waste. And God will do some extravagant things for you if you'll let him. But there's no point in him doing that if you're only going to just be the kind of person who takes in, takes in, takes in, takes in, takes in, and you never let anything back out that God has done for you. There are two seas in Palestine. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Very interesting. Are you ready? The Sea of Galilee, water flows in and water flows out. The Dead Sea only takes. Water comes in, but it has no outlet. You want to be like a Dead Sea? The Bible says that a selfish person is dead even while they still live. I was a believer, but I was like the walking dead. I went to church every Sunday, but I was still like the walking dead. I had my bumper sticker, I read my Bible, but I was still like the walking dead because everything was about me. You think you can't be saved and be selfish? That's what's wrong. That's why our Christian witness is not saying much to the world, because we've got a lot of Christians that still don't understand this. You know what? I have a big job teaching the word, and I'm grateful for what God has given me to do. But you know, the more important part of my life is not this time up here. It's what I do in my private life behind closed doors. And how tragic it would be if I was preaching this and not living it. How tragic would that be? Jesus died so we could be free from ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:15, I love this scripture. This is one of my very favorite scriptures of all time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. So Jesus didn't just die for us so we could go to heaven. He didn't just die for us so we could have our sins forgiven. Of course, those are the more important things. But he said, I want you to enjoy your life. So here's a flash. Another big reason why I died for you was so you wouldn't have to live a selfish, self-centered life. I have empowered you to be a blessing, even going so far as to make you a blessing to your enemies. See, my ministry is not over when I leave this pulpit today. It's basically just getting started. I have no idea what I'm going to run into yet today, but I've already set my mind that I don't want to miss any opportunity to be a blessing to anybody. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, be mindful to be a blessing. Be mindful. Have your mind full of ways that you can be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith. I've committed myself even more so this year, and I want to encourage you today to pay a lot more attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans 7:6. But now we are discharged from the law, and we've terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. So if we will be committed, and we'll just talk about this area, but the promptings of the Spirit. You're getting ready to say something, you get a prompting from God. You don't say that. Oh, okay. I mean, God tries to prompt us all day long. You know, I've got a clock over there that tells me that I'm supposed to quit in 6 minutes. Now, they've put that there to prompt me to do the right thing. And God has put the Holy Spirit in us to prompt us to do the right thing. We don't have to. I don't have to give the employee at work that's been mean to me a ride. I'm not going to lose my salvation if I don't. I don't have to. But if the Holy Spirit is prompting me to, see, this is the freedom of the new covenant. I don't have a law that says do this or God's mad at you. Do this or you lose your salvation. Do this or you're not going to go to heaven. But I now live by a higher law, which if I obey it, will produce in me a newness of life, an enthusiasm, a freshness, an excitement that nothing else can make up for. Promptings. Practical example. I pray every day, Lord, I want to be a blessing to people. Help me walk in love. Okay. Now, it needs to be more than just a prayer. I don't know if you figured it out or not, but we like to sound holy in our prayers. Oh, God. Anyway, no time for that. Now I'm down to 5 minutes. Went to a place of business the other day. We happen to know the couple. They provide a service, and I'd gone there for something, and just in conversation, they weren't hinting, just said, you know, we're both at a place where we really need to buy pretty much all new clothes. It's just been a long, long time since we've bought ourselves any clothes. And I know that they've been tight on money, and we've helped them a few different times. And so, I mean, it just took a second. I didn't need a prayer meeting. I didn't need a confirmation. I didn't need, you know, I just the prompting in my spirit, that's something you could do. Just take them out and buy them new clothes. Well, I waited just about 5 minutes just to, you know, just to sit on it and make sure that I had peace. And, you know, when we offered to do that, it made them so happy. You would have thought that you gave them a gazillion dollars. Now, listen, I'm not telling you that so you think I'm good. That's got nothing to do with this. I'm just trying to show you all the little things. And then we said, and we'll take you. We'll go with you. I'll work with you. They will work with the guy. Well, that meant more to them, the time did, even than anything else. Because they're not like, they're not real up on fashion. That's not really their thing. And, you know, I'm cool with that. I'm down with that. You want to know what to put on and what looks good? Call me. Come on, are you out there today? All right.
Joyce answers your question of the day soon, so stay with us.
Well, in just a few minutes, I'll be answering the question of the day, so you'll want to stay until the end of the program for that. But first, today we've been talking about overcoming a selfish attitude. I don't think any of us want to be selfish, but we will be if we don't become aggressively generous and always try to be a blessing to other people. Today we're offering you 4 hours of teaching called The Gift of Everyday Joy. Who doesn't need more joy? We all want to enjoy life, and generosity is one of the ways to do that. 4 hours of teaching on CD and also a mug. It says on it, share Christ, love people, drink coffee. And so I think you're gonna have fun with the coffee mug and enjoy the teaching.
So many times we think, I'll be happy when the weekend comes, or when I go on vacation, when I get that thing I want. True joy isn't based on what we have or our circumstances. Joy is a gift that comes from knowing God and allowing Him into every area of our lives. Joyce would like to offer The Gift of Everyday Joy, nearly 4 hours of teaching that will help you escape the mundane and discover the miracle of the moment. We're also including this new mug to help you share Christ, love people, and drink coffee. Ask for the Joyful Life gift set for a donation of $30 or more. Call 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
We have a question today that is dealing with marriage. Sonia says, my husband has chosen to put his mom first over me. I've talked to him about it, but he says it's in my mind. All holidays when we're in town are centered on what his mom or someone on his side of the family has planned. My husband is a mama's boy. What scriptures might help me dealing with this?
Well, I have a grown son that's a mama's boy too, but he doesn't put me ahead of his wife. And it's very clear between us. I mean, he spends time with me, but he always puts his family first. Now,
loving his mom is a good thing.
Yeah, loving his mom is a good thing. However, I don't know this couple, and I don't know the real root of the problem. So, is he putting his mother first all the time? Or is maybe Sonia needing him to prove to her all the time that she is first? I remember when this boy that I'm talking about, my son, he's my baby. And I remember after he got married, matter of fact, he was taking me home from a baby shower that we had given for his wife, because she was getting ready to have her first baby. And I said something to him, and I don't even remember what it was now, but I definitely remember his answer. And he said, I wish that you wouldn't. He said, you make me feel sometimes like I have to prove to you all the time that I love you. And I needed that correction, and I received it as being from God, because as mothers, sometimes we have a hard time too letting go of the relationship that we once had with our children, where they were totally dependent on us. And I think that it's, you know, there has to be a separation. There has to come a time when your children are not so totally dependent on you. I think that, matter of fact, I was thinking about this morning in relationship to my relationship with God. You know, we all want to know that God approves of us. Mm-hmm. And no matter how long you walk with God, you love that little nod from God in your heart that God approves of you.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have grown children, and they all still want that from me. It's just natural to want your mom or your dad to approve of you. So maybe he still needs a little too much of that approval, and maybe she just needs to pray a little bit more specifically about the situation. I say this a lot, but I'm discovering this more and more and more. It's amazing if you pray specifically about a situation. So like if I were going to pray about that situation, here's what I would pray. I would say, Lord, I want to be first in my husband's life. I think that's, other than you being first, I think, you know, you want his family to be first. And it seems to me like he's putting his mom first all the time. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But if I'm not, then I pray that you will show him, that you'll reveal it to him, and
that he will make the change on his own. We get so much further praying about things than we ever do trying to make people do things. Because honestly, the more she tries to talk to him about that, the more she tries to make him not prefer his mother, if that's what he's doing,
right,
the harder it's going to be in their marriage, until it could become more of an issue than she'd like it to be. And I always like to tell people, and this is something we all have to remember on a regular basis, don't let what somebody else does steal your joy. I'll be honest, when my husband's mom was alive, everybody being at every holiday family gathering was very important to her, and we all did it. Even a long time after we all had grown children, and maybe in the natural would have preferred to have maybe spent that holiday home with her own family, but it never hurts to do things for people that have spent a lot of time sowing into your life. And so she may even just need to do it and do it peacefully just because it's something that the mom needs. And so, like I said, I don't know all the details, but that's the best advice I can give is just, you know, calm down a little bit with it, pray more. And when I say pray specifically, I like what the Amplified Bible says about in Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer. And then the Amplification says, definite requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. So sometimes I think we pray too vaguely, and we need to be real specific about what it is we're asking God to do for us, and then give it time. Stay sweet and give it time.
Good answer. Stay sweet and
give
it time.
Stay sweet and give it time.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.